Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 8. For several weeks now, I've been bringing messages from the Word of God in which our Lord Jesus Himself is the preacher. These have been a special blessing to me. He's been preaching to me as I prepare to preach to you. And the sermon today is from John chapter 8. And I noticed, I've preached from this message several times, but I noticed in these verses which I read a moment ago that our Lord uses the word if several times. Now, I'm not interested in making a play on words at all, but rather in preaching this message on the subject if, I'm trying to emphasize the particular power of these verses and the unchangeable truth. If this be true, this is true. It's unchangeable. The terms which he sets forth are immutable, unchangeable. If, therefore. And if is not true, then there's another therefore. And let's start with the first one in John 8, verse 23. John 8, verse 23. And he said to them, he's speaking to these religious people now. He's not talking to his disciples. He's talking to these religious Pharisees and Judaizers and legalists. And he said, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. If we do not, or whomever reads this, does not believe that he is I am. That's one of the most prominent names of God in the Scripture. I am. That's what he said to Moses when Moses inquired of his name. He said, when I go to deliver Israel and they ask me who sent you, what is thy name? The Lord God said to Moses, I am that I am. And Jesus Christ is saying here, you're from the earth, you're born of the flesh. I'm not from the earth, I'm from above, I'm from heaven, I'm God. And if you do not believe that I am God, I am the everlasting, unchangeable, I am, not I was, I will be, I am. It's always I am. The true God. God over all. God blessed forever. God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the author and finisher. Isaiah 9 said, unto us a child is born. That's true. But a son is given. And this son's name, the government's on his shoulders. The reign of the universe is on his shoulders. And his name is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. How can he be the Father? He said, he that's seen me has seen the Father. I don't know, just know it's so. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. If you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. If you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. That's immutable. And if you don't believe that I'm he, what is this he? He's the Messiah. He's the true Messiah. He's the Christ promise. He's the fulfillment of every Old Testament promise and prophecy. Every Old Testament scripture. He is the Passover lamb. He is the priest forever. He is the King of kings. He is the Son of David. He is the only Savior of sinners. He is the great high priest. He is the only mediator between God and men. And if you don't believe this, you'll die in your sins. You'll die in your sins. You'll die guilty before God. You'll die in your sins. You'll die under your sins. and you die to an eternal death. To die in Christ is to live. To die out of Christ is to die in sin. There's a world of difference between dying in Christ and out of Christ. Jeremiah gives us the difference over here in Jeremiah 17. This is a powerful scripture. Jeremiah 17, listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He'll be like a heath in the desert, like a tumbleweed. He'll not see good when good cometh. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose hope the Lord Jesus Christ is. He'll be like a tree planted by the waters, spreads out her roots by the river. She'll not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. She'll not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall ye cease from yielding fruit. Oh, the mercy of God in revealing to us our Lord and our God. I believe that Jesus Christ is I am He. And I don't intend to die in my sins. Because the reverse is true. If you believe not that I am He, you die in your sins. If you believe I am He, you're dying grace. All right, let's read on. Then said they unto him, well, who are you? Jesus saith unto them, even the same I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. They didn't understand that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, now when you've lifted up the Son of Man, when you've cried, crucify him, I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. This he spake of the way that he should die. Then you'll know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. He's speaking as a mediator now. God sent me. He's a mediator. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. They said they believed on him. They professed to believe him. They laid hold of these words and they said, we believe you're the Christ. We believe you're who you say you are. We believe you're the Messiah. Now he said this to them. This is what he said to those who believe on him. Like I told my class a while ago, you've got to find out who's speaking to whom he's speaking. Now these people have professed to believe him, like you and I have. I say, I believe he's the Christ. These people say, we believe you're who you say you are. Now listen to what he said to them. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth if you continue in my word. And the truth will make you free. Continue in my word, in my word, in my gospel. You can't separate Christ and his word. A man who loves Christ loves his word. Christ is the gospel. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the sum. He's the substance of the word. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Christ and the word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, abide, continue, go on. Don't start and stop. Go on. Live in the faith, believe the faith, die in the faith. If you continue, then are you my disciples indeed, not in profession only, but in truth. Continuing in Christ is not a condition of faith, it's the evidence of faith. See, you say, well, I'm saved because I'm going to continue. No, that's not. You're saved because he died for you, and you're looking to him. And you'll continue because of that. Continuing in Christ is not a condition of faith, it's the evidence of faith. Well, let's get a scripture for that in 1 John. 1 John. John talked about, 1 John chapter 2, John talked about some people who said they believed, but quit. Who said they believed, but didn't continue. Who said they were Christians, but didn't continue with the Christians. They left them. So So this is what John said about him in 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us. Who are they? People who said they believed on Christ. People who were numbered with us. People who were said they were our brethren. They went out from us. But they weren't of us. For if they had been of us, if they had been truly Christians, truly believers, they would no doubt have continued with us. No doubt about it. See, continuing is not a condition, it's an evidence that you love Christ. An evidence that I have believed is I keep on believing. An evidence that I have repented, I keep on repenting. An evidence that I love Christ, I keep on loving, keep on coming to Christ. That's an evidence. And they went out that it might be made manifest they were not all of us. That's just so regrettable, but it's true. We're not of them that draw back, Paul said. We're of them who keep on believing to the saving of the soul. That's, you see, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. I found something years ago that is a blessing. And I want you to listen to it. True faith in Christ, true love for Christ, makes a man a new creature. A man's a new creature who loves Christ. And that true faith will show in his eyes. It lights up his countenance. It softens his touch. It mellows his voice. It bows his head. It bends his knee. It opens his hand. It curbs his tongue. It humbles his heart. It orders his steps. It teaches his mind. It gives him peace of heart and a forgiving spirit. He's a different man. Different. And he'll continue to be different. And he'll continue to grow in that grace and that knowledge of Christ. So if you continue in my word, you abide in me and my word abides in you, you're my disciples indeed. Not in profession, but in truth. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will keep you in that freedom. All right, let's read on. They answered him, we're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say to you, whoso committed sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever. Now, if the Son of God, if the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. These men, religious men, boasted of their freedom because they were descendants of Abraham. But our Lord sets the record straight. He said, whosoever commits sin, abides in sin, he's a servant of sin. He's a homeborn slave. All who are born of Adam are born in sin. And that's true of every person born of Adam. They're born slaves to sin. But if the Son makes you free, how does the Son make us free? Well, turn to Galatians 5, verse 1. Let's look first at Galatians 3. How does the Son make us free? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, says this. This is what we are by nature. As many as of the works of the law are under the curse, Galatians 3:10. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. But verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from that curse, being made a curse. Well, he's redeemed us, set us free. Free. We're free from sin because he made sin for us. We're free from the curse because he's made a curse for us. See that? Christ hath set us free, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now look at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, stand fast in the liberty and freedom wherewith Christ hath made you free. and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're free from sin. Christ has made sin for us. We're free from the curse. He was made a curse for us. We're free from the captivity of Satan. He said he came to set the captive free. He's our ransom. We're free from the law. We're not under the curse, dominion, or rule of the law. We're under Christ. We're married to a new husband. We're free from condemnation. Romans 8. I said on television this morning, people talk about judgments. They have the judgment of nations and the judgment of Israel and the judgment of the church and the judgment of Christians and the judgment for reward. Let me tell you something. David said, Lord, don't bring me into judgment with thee. Don't bring me into judgment with thee. For in thy sight, nobody's going to be justified. You don't want to stand before God ever under any circumstances for any reason to be judged. In yourself, he can find no good. There's nothing in us, even saved people, that responds to the perfect holiness of God. He can't do anything but find fault. Lord, if I should mark iniquity, who could stand? Nobody. Nobody. And you don't want to be judged for your good deeds or bad deeds. You don't be judged for any reason. You don't stand before God for any reason in the world. You sure don't want to be in that rewards bunch. Oh, they're going to say, Lord, we did this, that, and the other. He said, I never knew you. You don't, Lord, don't enter into judgment with me. Here's our standing. Free from condemnation, free from the law, free from judgment, free from all of those things. If any man be in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation, no judgment. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can condemn us? We have no sin. Now, do I believe we'll be at the judgment? Yes, possibly. But not as a participator, only as a spectator. That's the only reason anybody here. I don't even want to see it, but it's all right. If he puts me there, I'll observe it. But I'm not going to be under judgment. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ. Is that clear what I'm saying? If the Son makes you free, 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 you're free indeed. You're free indeed. You're free from the curse, the condemnation, the judgment, the dominion, the captivity, the rules, everything. You're free. If the Son makes you free. But now these fellows here claim they were free because they were Jews. They're free because Abraham was their daddy. And they're free because they kept the law. And they're free because they did this, that, and other. And he said, if you've got any sin in you anywhere, you're not free. Anywhere, anywhere. From your toe to your toupee, you're captive. If there's any sin anywhere, you're captive. But if the Son frees you from the curse, and frees you from your sin, and frees you from every charge, no charge. You're free indeed. I don't intend to see any believer at the judgment. Not being judged for any reason. All right, verse 37. I know you're Abraham's seed. I know that. I know that. You're the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Levi. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said, Abraham's our father. He said, if he was, if Abraham were your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. What about the works of Abraham? Well, there are many. There are many. Let me give you just a few of them. The people talk about, the Jews talked about the 7, 8, or 9 trials of Abraham. He left his home and his family, called of God. He dwelt in tents as a stranger in the land, never owned a foot of land with Isaac and Jacob. He gave the best land to Lot. He refused to be made rich by the earthly kings. He sent away Hagar and his beloved son Ishmael. He went to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. Need do the works of Abraham? That's a tall order, isn't it? Maybe in type, but I'd sure find it difficult to retrace his steps. But I believe what the Lord refers to here, if he refers to any works in particular, is one, the work of faith. Abraham believed God. I can do that. That's the works of Abraham. Abraham believed God. This is the foundation of Abraham's confidence. This is the motive of Abraham's leaving, doing, sacrificing, sending, whatever. This is the reason for all that Abraham was, did, and is. He believed God. And everything else followed. That's just it. That's the works of Abraham. No matter where you read about Abraham, it says he believed God. He believed that God Almighty could do what he promised and would do what he promised. Now, I can do that by his grace. I can do that. I believe God. I may murmur along the way, but I believe him. I believe him. I believe him. Turn to Galatians 3 one more time. Let me show you something over here. That's the works of Abraham, to believe God. And that's when we're children of Abraham. If you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the work of Abraham, which is to believe God. Look at Galatians 3, verse 6. Stay with me now. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are faith, they're the children of Abraham. That's it. Believe God. All right, look at verse 11. No man is justified by the law. It's evident the just shall live by faith. Verse 26. You are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. You're one in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's children, and you're heirs according to promise. Christ is saying to these unbelieving Jews, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. He believed God. And everything else that Abraham did was the result of the fact he believed God. All right, verse 40, let me give you this. Now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. Abraham didn't do this. You do the deeds of your father. Now listen carefully to this. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of sin, in sin, fornication. We have one father. God is our father. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you'd love me. Now I suppose if you go out on the job tomorrow, or down to the school, or any other place of human activity with all the religious folks in this most religious town, and you tell them that God is not the Father of all men, that you do not believe that Almighty God is the Father of all men, they're going to count you to be a fool and a heretic. But this is the very issue that these Jewish leaders raised with our Lord. They said, God is our Father. We don't believe you. We don't believe your gospel. We don't believe your grace. We don't believe your word. But God is our Father. And he said, if God were your Father, which he's not, if you have been born of God, which they hadn't, for in regeneration, love to Christ is the first fruit. Love to Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema when the Lord comes. Cursed. That's the first thing God sheds abroad in the heart of a regenerate sinner, is love for Christ. That's true. Look at 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. Listen to this. 1 John 5, verse 1.
Whosoever believeth
that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. God's his Father. You see, if a person's born of you, he's your Father. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat, whoever loves the Father, loves him that's begotten of him. Who's begotten of him? Christ, the only begotten Son of God. If a man begotten of God and loves God, he loves Christ. There's no way around that. And you love me because of two reasons. Look here at that verse now. Stay with this verse. Verse 42, John 8. If God were your Father, and you can say this to anybody, you'd love Christ. You'd believe Christ. You'd follow Christ. Because that's the first gift of the Spirit is love for Christ. He that's born of God loveth him that begat and him that's begotten of him. For, here's the reason you love me, I proceeded forth and came from God. That's the eternal generation of Christ. That's his Godhead. He's the only begotten of the Father. He came from the Father. I and my Father are one. You love him because he and the Father are one. I proceeded forth from the Father. This is not he's coming to earth. The next part of the verse is he's coming to earth. Neither came I to the earth of myself. He sent me down here. I proceeded forth from the Father, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I was sent down here by him. So if you, God's your Father, you love me as God and mediator. You love me as God and mediator. Don't separate. Prophet, priest, and king. You see why I love this if? Terms. The immutability, unchangeableness of these terms, they're just so. If God's your Father, you love me, Christ said. You love me. No question about it. Love him as God, love him as mediator. Now verse 43. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you can't hear my word. They have ears, but they don't hear. Eyes, but they don't see. You have your father, the devil. Lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He bode not in the truth because no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's a liar and the father of liars. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now watch this. Christ said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you can find any fault, sin, or deceit in me? Nobody ever did. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. All the way through the scripture, you don't need to turn to them. Let me just read you a few quick passages about which of you convinces me of sin, the perfection of his life, the holiness of his life. Listen to this. Matthew 22, verse 16 says this. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, and they came saying to the Lord Jesus, Master, we know you're true. We know that you teach the way of God in truth. We know you care not for any man's person. You regard it not the person of any man. We know that. Listen to this. This is in Mark chapter 1. These are the demons. This is a man possessed of demons that met Christ. And there was in the synagogue a man with unclean spirits, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. Talking to Christ. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. As a testimony of the Pharisees, as a testimony of the devil. Now listen to this. In Luke chapter 20, verse 21, listen to this. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither accepteth the person of any, but you teach the way of God truly. Then he says, why don't you believe me? That's what Why don't you believe it? Nicodemus said, we know you come from God. You couldn't do what you do if God wasn't with you. Then why don't you believe me? In my generation, this is general consensus of this day, that Jesus Christ was a perfectly holy man. Do you find anybody in this day except an outright idiot or fool that would say Jesus Christ was not holy? That he didn't come from God? That he didn't tell the truth? You ever run into anybody that said that? Then sometimes why don't you say, why don't you believe him? If, that's what he's saying to these people here in John 8, verse 40, 46, he said, if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? And you know good and well what I'm preaching this morning couldn't be preached in the average pulpit now, could it? But every one of them say they believe in Jesus. Why don't they believe him then? They believe in him. Why don't they believe him? That's what he's asking. If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe? Well, here's the only reason it can be given. Verse 47, he that is of God, God's his Father, born of God, called of God, elected of God, he'll hear God's word. And you hear them not. One reason. Not of God. These ifs are something. You can take this and preach it every Sunday. Yeah. If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? If you were born of God, you would. All right, in closing, verse 48. And they got so mad. And that's what... This is the thing. Somebody asked me one time, you get a lot of criticism in the mail. You get a lot of letters. We get 30, 40, 50 letters a week asking for tapes and talking about the message and writing. We get mail from all over the country. We get as much from California as we do from West Virginia and Kentucky. I rarely ever get a letter of condemnation and questioning what I'm saying. You know why? I preach the word and prove it by the word. And I challenge anybody out there listening to what I've said this morning, call my hand on it. You can't do it. I read what he said. I didn't tell you what I think. I told you what he said. If you believe not that I am he, you die in your sins. I didn't say that. He said that. If you were Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. You can't write me a letter on that. He said that. If God were your Father, you'd love me. You can't write to me. You can't question it. Because I'm not preaching myself or the Baptist church or the Baptist doctrine or the peculiarities of ours. I'm preaching what Christ said. What Christ said. And this generation is going to give an account. They're going to give an account. And they just got mad. They got mad. They said, you're a devil. You have a devil. You have a devil. Jesus said, I don't have a devil. I honor the Father. The devils don't honor the Father. The devils don't honor the Father. The devils don't honor Christ. The devils don't glorify God. They glorify men, flesh. They praise and laud the flesh. They don't glorify God. The devils don't teach salvations of the Lord. The devil teaches it's up to you. Do the best you can, and God's obligated to give you a place. I'm not a devil. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me, and I seek not my own glory. Who's looking for any glory around here? There's one that seeketh in judgment. But I'm telling you this, if a man keep my saying, if he'll keep my sayings, if a person hears my gospel, receives my gospel, believes it in his heart, loves and embraces the gospel, and abides in me, and my words abide in him, he's passed from death unto life. He'll never die. Never see there. And they said, well, now we know you have a devil. Verse 52. Abraham's dead. No, he's not. No, he's not either. His body's in the grave, but he's not dead. No. He's not dead. Prophets, they're not dead. You say, if a man keep your saying, he'll never taste of death. You greater than our father Abraham, who's dead, and the prophets who are dead, makest thou thyself. Well, he said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. That won't amount to anything anyway. It's my Father that honors me, of whom you say he's your God. But you've not known him. I know him. I know him. You do too. Aren't you glad? I know him. You see, a message like that, it just comforts God's people. And you go down through there and you say, that I believe that. I rest in it. He's my Lord. He's my Savior.